whistleblowers, spiritual cults, and how to spot a narcissist. This is Brandon Marshall Havener. I'm back with the Sorry I Offended You podcast, and that's the topic that we're going to be talking about today, spiritual cults, spotting narcissists, and what else? What the fuck did I say? I thought of the title first, like, what's going to be a good... Whistleblowers, yes. And also, I want to, like, share in comparison to maybe a brave whistleblower versus a whiny person on the internet that is involved in cancel culture. And one thing that cancel culture, one thing that people say to defend cancel culture is to say, it's accountability culture, which usually it's actually just to get people distracted. It's just an easy way for people to distract themselves from their own problem. I made a joke because I have my program called Fuck Cancel Culture. And I said the acronym can be the same with being fuck clout chasers. Because a lot of time when you see cancel culture, you see a lot of people chasing for clout and attention. And everybody makes their fucking video of the person that's being canceled. Like, I did an episode of this once, but one example that I come up with is that Rachel Hollis situation where she just made a comment about her cleaning ladies, and it was just a 1 minute TikTok, and she just said that she wasn't normal and she works hard and all that shit, and everyone was outraged. It was unnecessary. At the end of the day, behind all that was fucking clout chasing. Not saying that her response was the best. Maybe you could, you know, in that particular situation, maybe people can critique her response, so be it. But people were making videos like, I'm talking about the Rachel Hollis situation, and I am too. And it just becomes this clout chasing thing. So anyway, I wanted to talk about a serious matter. And in some ways, it may seem like I could see a critic say, you're contradicting yourself and you're hypocritical because your last podcast was about how anti-coaches annoy you. And are you being an anti-coach now? And the answer is no. This is an addendum. But also the answer is that life is multifaceted and it's nuanced. And there are times for you to be the whistleblower and to speak truth. And there's other times where you're just expending energy, right? You know, it kind of reminds me of Tupac. Something that I've always heard from Tupac's music was that musically, he would come off as a hypocrite because he would have one song that's called Dear Mama or Brenda's Got a Baby. And it was like this deep song about like making the community better and all that stuff. And then another song, it would be Hit 'Em Up. And it's like, fuck you, Biggie Smalls, you know, things of that shit. And don't clip that out of me just saying, fuck you, Biggie Smalls. I have a lot of respect for the art that Biggie Smalls have put into this world. I was primarily a Tupac fan, but that doesn't mean that I had to hate on other music. I enjoy the New York music too. And plus, it's the end of the West Coast and East Coast beef. I'm on the East Coast. I listen to mostly West Coast. Anyway, where am I going with this? One thing I want to add, since I'm on the dirt trail of hip-hop, there was an incident last week, and I don't want to say names, right? Because if this person wants to share their experience through this, I would rather them share it than me using it on my podcast. But it was like someone I'm IG friends with, and they mentioned a joke about hip-hop, and they made a joke where it's like, it comes off tough, but when you look at it, it's just like writing poems to each other. It's like poetry. Like, oh, you wrote a cute little poem. And the reason why that's funny is because it's sad you had to fucking describe jokes these days. But the reason why it's funny is the contrast between hardcore hip hop of like, in real rap battles, you're going hard on each other. And then to contrast that with like, but if you look deeper, it's a poem. Now, if anyone was fucking offended by this comment, it should be me, because I love hip hop and I've rapped. I've done everything under the sun with hip hop. I've been on the hip hop scene. I've made beats. I've engineered. I've recorded songs. I had a studio in my parents' basement. All that stuff. So if anyone would be offended, it should have been me. But I was more offended by the comments in this particular post. And again, I don't want to add more fuel to the fire. I just felt like talking about it because it's related to the cancel culture and hip hop. It's like two of the topics that I like to talk about. But it was these people outraged, just fucking outraged of like, you don't know what's, this is making fun of black culture and hip hop culture. Ironically, actually one of my friends that I came up with, doing hip hop shows together and stuff like that. I remember him posting a similar joke or sharing a similar joke about like, you know, we battle each other, but really it's like poems. And it's hilarious. Like we joke about that, like people who are into hip hop joke about that shit. But the thing that got me with that whole situation is people were offended on the behalf of hip hop. Like someone was offended on the behalf of Jay-Z. Like Jay-Z had to go through a lot of trauma and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yo, no one at Jay-Z didn't ask for your help. Jay-Z didn't ask for your sympathy. Jay-Z didn't want a random. And I hate like pointing out race, but it's relative in this thing. A random white girl on the internet saying that you feel sorry for him. He's a billionaire. I think he's a billionaire now. He's a multimillionaire at least. It's like he went through his struggles and, you know, like he can afford therapy. He doesn't need some random fucking person on the internet to be like, oh, Jay-Z, I'm sorry. So anyway, I wanted to get off. I had to get that off my chest before getting into the nitty gritty of this fucking podcast, because I just think of the battles. Like, even if you YouTube rap battles, like local rap battles in Baltimore, people say far worse shit to each other than a tweet saying, oh, you wrote a poem. Like the whole point of hip hop is that you're, the whole point of both hip hop and stand up comedy, I've made the correlation before. It's a rough game. Like you're supposed to handle hecklers, and in hip hop, you're supposed to be able to be in these like rap beefs and ciphers and have punchlines, like, you know, looking at Eminem in particular, the whole way that he came up, and you can even look it up on the YouTubes, the whole way that he came up was thinking of better insults than the other person, and he was second place in the Rap Olympics. The Rap Olympics is all about making fun of each other. It's like there's a lot of similarities between rap battles and what's it called? Roast, like comedy roast, right? Except, I don't know, comedy roasts can be pretty brutal. But sometimes rap battles can be maybe even more brutal. Like, sometimes just downright violent. Like, you know, like, it's, sometimes you wonder, like, when you see a rap battle, you see two people get in each other's face. And sometimes, like, it's, sometimes it's like you see them get so close to the other person's face, you're like, I can't believe this isn't breaking out in a fight right now. In fact, I remember seeing a video recently on that show 106 in Park that was on BET when I was growing up, where these two goofy rappers were battling and they got in a fist fight during the show. So whatever. But even something like Wild and Out, you know, that show, if you look at clips from Wild and Out, that's even more, you know, lethal with the insults than just saying that rappers wrote a nice poem. So it's like, I don't like these social justice warriors or woke people or whatever, the people of the woke religion, they're getting so offended for hip hop in this status and trying to put somebody down for making a fucking joke. And that's a whole, like, do you, do you not know what hip hop is? Like, what era were you from? Did it? I guess like in this era, it's just like someone mumbles on YouTube and sometimes they get it, you know, like the whole mumble rapper thing. Maybe like the heart of hip hop isn't as fresh in the youngin's mind, the Zillennials or whatever. But I'm just saying, like, if you knew the culture of hip hop, you would find it very absurd and ironic and weird to get upset over a joke on the behalf of hip hop. And for one last thing, like, woke people, please don't fucking claim hip hop. Hip hop is way different than woke ideology. For one thing, we can say what the fuck we want to say. And we're tougher and we don't victimize ourselves. And it's all, you know, it's all about like the whole thing about hip hop culture is like taking matters into our own hands and being equipped to battle and being free to say whatever the fuck we want. Like these woke motherfuckers, they wouldn't last a second in like an open mic or like a cypher session in Baltimore City or something like that. Like, stop it. Just stop. You're done. You're canceled. I'm not canceled. You're canceled now. Everyone who tried to tie in wokeness with hip hop is now canceled. I've declared it. You're done. You're done, son. So it must be this coffee I'm drinking right now. So anyway, I had to get that off my chest, and that's a normal aspect of this podcast. Hopefully you're used to it by now. But everything has a reason. There is a rhyme and reason as we're talking about hip-hop here. Because part of the reason why I wanted to do this podcast is because I wanted to equip you in ways. And that's part of my angle here when talking about this stuff. And something that I said on the last episode called I'm tired of swindling coaches and I'm also find anti-coaches annoying. You know, the title was something like that. And something that I did mention is that you want to be out of the rescuer position and you want people to be able to be equipped. So I kind of want to really highlight that point almost as an addendum and almost as going further into that point of equipping yourself so you are able to be self-responsible. You are able to hold your own. You are able to spot the manipulation. The thing is when it comes to cults and manipulation, we're facing it at all angles. I would say that we're in a psychological war right now. You know, the only thing that could convince me that we're not is if I've been gaslighted so hard to believe it's normal. And that's the whole point of the psychological war, is that at sometimes you may even have that inkling. Even myself, it's like, is it extreme to say this is a psychological war? Fuck yeah. Like, fuck yes, it's a psychological war. So that's a reality. That's a reality that's right in front of our face right now. You also have like the World Economic Forum that is it's like a massive cult. Then you've got the coaching side of things. And then you got the woke side of things that's kind of like in the psychological manipulation. So it's like in today's age, we're in the information age right now, which means it's important to have a wit about you, to understand where the downfalls are to not holding your boundaries and to not being grounded. Now, I made this joke on Facebook. Maybe I need to share it to my Instagram audience. I think sometimes I feel like I have separate audiences on Instagram and Facebook. I know like some people read both. But sometimes it feels like it's split. It's a strange time. But I made this post as a joke. And I said that before hiring a high-ticket coach, make sure they're not on the edge of becoming an angry SJW that wants to cancel everybody. And also, make sure they're not on the edge of wanting to burn their entire business down and just following Jesus. The reason why I said that is because there's truth to it. And it's not really my place to be saying like what someone did was wrong. And I'm actually talking about more of the Jesus thing. I have less like, because the Jesus people, they don't necessarily like go, like since they're with Jesus now, they're not like going after people and shit. So I have more sympathy and I have more room to being like, hey, maybe you saw some shit that I didn't. Cool for you. But then there's the SJW thing. And what I mean by the SJW thing is maybe you have this similar experience, but I've had people who seem like either the nicest clients, the nicest friends, and, you know, like everything was all fine and dandy. And then all of a sudden, overnight, it almost seems, or sometimes you see it slowly happening, but sometimes it's like overnight, their eyes glaze over and all of a sudden they're like attacking you. Not in like a way of like, I feel threatened, but it's like in a way of like, whoa, this person went off the deep end and now this person hates me. But like sometimes you see it slowly happen. Sometimes you see the posts come out and first it starts out with like, I decided to do my decolonization work with so-and-so. And it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe it's good for this person. And then all of a sudden the next week they're calling out somebody who, you know, said tribe in a post or just somebody who said something that you're somebody who said a random had a random post and it didn't address what was on the news that day. Like it could be that. And then you're like, ooh, I don't want to unfriend this person, but it's only a matter of time. They're going to try to challenge me. And then it fucking happened. So I have a little bit more sympathy for the Jesus people because they destroy their business and then they like walk away and they don't go after people and saying like, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying there's no Jesus people that don't do this, but I'm just saying the Jesus people that I met on from the coaching or the new age, quote unquote, to Jesus conversion, I don't see them going, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? This post doesn't talk about Jesus. You know, actually, I lied. There was one person. There's one person who I facilitated a retreat with in LA back in the day in 2015. And then one day I was like, I mean, I guess it was, I guess I kind of instigated it, but I was like talking shit about religion. And then he sent me a bunch of Bible verses and I declined, but then I started ignoring his emails and then he unfriended me because I guess I wasn't able to be saved. So sometimes it can be aggressive. I'm not giving all Jesus people a pass. And I'm not saying all Jesus people are bad either, right? It's for like, you know, it's the right thing for people. Like if I met Jesus, we'd probably kick it, you know? I kind of like scaled back in really being like anti-religion. Like I kind of healed that part of myself. I grew up as a Catholic and there was a moment in my life where I found joy in being kind of anti-religion and making fun of it. But, you know, I also met a lot of people who are led by Jesus and God and, you know, they, at least they have something in their life that's grounding them. You know what I mean? So not all religious people are insane. A lot of people are good, loving people. Not all religious people are hypocrites. Some of them are though, you know? Anyway, with all that being said, there is some seriousness to that post because the reason why I bring that particular thing up is that in cases, and I'm not trying to discourage people from making a shift in their branding or whatever, but in a lot of cases when they blow everything up and then sort of like overcommit to this new ideology overnight almost and change their entire behavior, a lot of times that comes from a place of not being grounded and not having, you know, sort of like not having anything to grab onto and ground themselves. And sometimes that can be hard if you're alone or you don't have, like, you know, you're isolated in some way, or if you're just in a friend group that doesn't fully support you. Maybe the friend group is like making things worse. But like, I see that, and seriously, like, that joke comes from truth. Like, I've seen people go in those two different directions. And I feel like that's just a new level of culty behavior, to be honest. Especially the woke stuff. I'm not even sure, like, what's going on with the new Jesus movement, because it's not necessarily religious, and I haven't really studied it, and I never fully understood it. I don't understand how people come to the conclusion that they're now saved by Jesus and they're only going to talk about Jesus now. I don't know where that comes from, to be honest. But it could be culty. It could be. There's chances of cultiness coming from that. But yeah, I just wanted to say that, and going into the whole aspect of dealing with narcissists and being a whistleblower and, you know, dealing with manipulative practices. Now, I could have gone the regular route on this podcast. I could have wrote down a list of traits that can help you spot a narcissist. And if things come up for me that are helpful, then so be it. I'll name some of the things out. But I wanted to be less technical in this podcast, because that's as easy as a fucking Google search, right? That's easy as a Google search or a YouTube search, and you can find someone building a list. But I want to infuse my own experiences, my own thoughts about it, and also rules and regulations maybe you can give yourself, like boundaries that you can give yourself so you never fall into that situation. And another caveat here. Is it a caveat? I think it's a caveat. But one other thing here is, despite my going off on the anti-coaches in my last podcast, and despite talking about all the mistakes that I've made when I was hyped up and trying to be the hero, and the bridges I burned and things of that nature, I do want to say that there was fewer situations where I was happy that I was a whistleblower. And the thing is like, that's still part of my identity in a way, is, you know, why am I speaking against the narrative now, right? It's because that's part of who I am. That's part of who I was meant to be, is to speak out when things aren't right. And I commend everyone who speaks out when things aren't right. So I do want to commend people. And I also want you to be easy on yourself. Like, listening to that last podcast, like, you get to make shifts in your own energy, and we all don't have to be perfect. You know, we're all on this journey. And if you learn something, apply that to yourself with grace. You know, apply it with love, and in ways that you feel like your energy was leaky. That's awesome. That's an awesome breakthrough that you had. It doesn't have to be, you know, beating yourself up or anything of that nature. We don't do that here. Not in this cult. I'm just kidding. It's not a cult. It's just a podcast. Building a cult is just, it's just too much work. Like, that's why I don't do free Facebook groups anymore. Because it's like, I don't want to control people. But if I don't control people, sometimes they just like, sometimes they get like a bad read on my sense of humor and then cross the line. And it's like, do I gotta make rules here? Fuck, man. Ugh. So I was like, well, why don't just close a fucking group? You know, it's easier when I do programs like Fuck Cancel Culture and have like smaller private Facebook groups. And, you know, there's more of a purpose there and people invested there and they're respecting the space more. And it's not like anyone could get in it. I guess that's a nice promotion, a nice segue to join Fuck Cancel Culture. You can find it in the show notes. You can find it in my Instagram bio. we start next week, and you know, people have been joining, and the souls that have been joining, they're amazing people. It's awesome. It's going to be like a 2-week mini mastermind experience for the price of a masterclass. What can I say? The first idea was to make it a masterclass, but then it was like, no, I want this to be extended for like a 2-week period. So it'll be some fun times. It'll help you get more bold on the internet and say the shit that you want to say, and also to stop censoring yourself. So anyway, as I digress here, so there are situations that I was happy being the whistleblower. It's in my blood. I mean, what can I fucking say? In sixth grade, I remember like the second day of school in sixth grade or whatever. It might have been the first day of school. Coming home on the bus, and I just felt like sitting in the back seat. It's kind of like a reverse Rosa Parks story, but without race involved. So don't come at me. I didn't mean to compare my, I'm not comparing myself to Rosa Parks. Okay. I understand. It was a fucking joke, but anyway, in the back seat, and much respect to Rosa Parks, by the way, I was in the back seat and the other kids warned me. And saying like, no, that's Alex's seat. His name was Alex in eighth grade. And he's like, he's going to be mad. And he was like bigger than me at that time. And I was like, no, fuck no. I want to sit here. I didn't say fuck no because I didn't cuss back then. I was a little more appropriate. But I was still stubborn. And then he walked to the seat and he just like threw me out of the seat. But then he got in trouble, and then he had to sit in the front of the bus for the rest of the year. So that was funny. He was fucking resenting me for it. So, you know, I didn't have the strength to fight him back then, but I made him make a fool out of himself, and then he had to sit in the front seat the rest of the day, the rest of the year, and be humiliated for it. And now I'm taller than him, so I'm not afraid of you anymore. I'm not afraid of the eighth graders anymore. And then also that year, this kid was picking on me, and he was always like, he always bullied a lot of people, and he was the same age as me, so he was more in my weight class, and actually I was probably bigger than him, but then I whooped his ass, and that's when I first got my, like, I guess first 15 minutes of fame, but it seemed longer than that, because I was a kid then. And I guess like a lot of people wanted to whoop his ass. So I guess I just say that it's like from an early age, I've always been that person like who saw like a set of rules and being like, no, we're not doing it. Like, this doesn't make sense. I'm not bowing down to this. And for better or worse, sometimes it landed me in trouble. It always seemed to work out at the end. And you know, like, even from a young age, like, people kind of look to me as like, you know, thank you for being the one that did something, right? So yeah. Anyway, going into this story, another story, I'm just fucking telling stories here. But there's one particular moment that I don't regret. And it was this moment where I was in this Telegram group of people, and this was back in the day, almost right before meeting Rebecca. In fact, I think after I got with Rebecca, and then I ended up calling her out for something. And this is a call out that I didn't regret. And the reason why I didn't regret it is because she was selling people this high ticket trip to Hawaii, and it seemed like it was never happening, or she didn't, it never did happen, by the way. And she like got all these people, and she was trying to like get access to all of our audiences, including mine. And then I found out that she was stealing clients in a way by lying, not saying that clients are owned. And you'll understand as I say this, because I'm not the type of person who gets all upset of like, you poached clients. In most cases, unless it's really creepy or weird or manipulative. But anyway, a friend of mine, Leah Steele, she was in the same group, and the lady who was doing the scamming, her name was Christine Ferraro. I don't give a fuck about saying her name, because that's just what she does. And she, yeah, man, like, Leah was moving to Bali at that time. And within the group, she was talking to the group saying something, you know, just making up shit that Leah said and saying, Leah's not going to be here, but you can coach with me. And then she was like selling people based on lies within that group. So she basically violated the group. And that's not the only thing. Like, she was doing things like, you know, one red flag for me was she was trying to get access to my Facebook to set Facebook ads for the event. And I was like, no, I don't understand. Why don't you do that on your own Facebook account? So it was this whole thing. I did a live stream of it back in 2018. This isn't supposed to be a Christine expose. But that was the time where I didn't regret it. So I want to have some nuance to the conversation from last episode, because I think sometimes when people hear what I say about anti-coaches are annoying and always griping about coaches, I think part of that criticism is like, yeah, well, I'm not just supposed to be toxic positivity and be silenced about it. And it's like, no, but be smart with your energy. Because that was a rare moment where, in some cases, it was hard for me to untangle myself from that situation. Like, I wasn't fully in the brainwashed in the caught mode. I saw the red flags. I was able to, like, preserve myself. And to be honest, I think being in a relationship with Rebecca was helpful as well. You know, it's like when you surround yourself with good people, you start to detangle from either abusive or narcissistic webs or manipulative webs, whatever you want to call it. And the same thing with Rebecca. She untangled herself from things too. It's like when you're with a grounded person and that you start to like, you start to get clarity. So, you know, shout out to Rebecca and, you know, for being like, I just think she's been so helpful in my life in setting boundaries, right? And taking ownership and having that self-confidence. And I think that's crucial for when you're in this business. And, you know, you can fall into a lot of people's manipulation if you're not grounded. And if you're not careful, you could burn everything down for Jesus or the social justice warriors. So that happened. And the reason why I paint that particular situation different, the reason why I don't look back at that event with regret, like the other events where I burned bridges with friends, and luckily, a lot of the bridges I burned, I rebuilt, and I took ownership. But the reason why I don't have an issue with that one is because it took boldness to actually speak up, to be... Maybe I wasn't, the thing that triggered it was what happened in Leah's group. So, you know, I think I was like next in line to speak up. But whether you're the first one or one of the ones that go first, you know, one of the first ones, it takes boldness. And when it takes boldness to speak up to something, then that's an honorable thing. That's an honorable thing to do, because you're speaking about some type of abuse that's going on. And you took the boldness to do that. The gripe that I have with a lot of cancellations and anti-coaching rhetoric is a lot of times it's just something for people to blow off steam. Like, who's the next person do I go after this week? And it's like, did it take courage for you to weigh in on this situation, or to you to talk about a situation that you knew nothing about? Or are you just blowing off steam to distract yourself from your own problems? And that's where it comes in. The issue that I have with cancel culture in particular is when it becomes that ugly game of telephone and people start talking about things that they don't know about, and people get offended by little things, by the ways that people phrase something, or the way that, you know, or something that somebody said, but you didn't get the whole story, or it was just like something vague and you just jumped on the cancellation train, or, you know, something that may be like a personal gripe that someone has that they're dealing with, but nothing serious went down. And I think it's very important for that, because I would even say that the trigger happy version of cancel culture, or, you know, going after people and going on these witch hunts, is that it demeans the issues where people are really getting hurt, the issues that people are really suffering, the issues where there's like real sexual abuse or financial abuse, and manipulation. And there was something in particular that I heard recently that kind of inspired this podcast. And, you know, just hearing the stories and the bravery it took, like you could feel the bravery it took for those women to come forward. And what's a podcast called? I think it's called A Little Bit Culty, but I want to give respect. And see, that's the thing. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. When I heard, okay, it's a podcast called A Little Bit Culty. And it's something that I just found yesterday, right? So, who are the people on this podcast? What are their names? 'Cause Sarah and Nippy, and they seem like a fun couple. They seem like fun people. But I was really thinking into it and listening to that episode, and also like similarities with the whole Tinder swindler thing. And also, I don't like saying this, but like, if you're going to listen to things like this, I just want you to know there's some deep fucked up shit that people have done, right? But why do I find myself being entertained by this particular show? And why do I look at it at a different light than maybe some of the rampant anti-coaching rhetoric? And the things that came up for me was that, for one thing, both of the hosts keep their sense of humor. And when you can keep your sense of humor, you've mastered something, right? When you can keep your sense of humor, and that means that you're not totally reacting. You're actually, like, you can be on purpose and keep a sense of humor and have that confidence. And something that I've been hearing a lot lately is their teachings were distortion. And actually, in this particular episode that I listened to, there was a lot of talk about how he used saying that certain things were distortion as a manipulation practice. But if I could use it in my own terms, distortion, like, I feel like their energy is clean and they're coming from a clean portal and they put effort into the work that they do, and it's crafted carefully. And it, you know, I haven't listened to every episode, but it's just fucking crafted carefully and seems like it's done with care and it's done with their personal experience, and they got some kind of healing in their experience, where it doesn't even seem like it's anti something. It seems more for something, if that makes sense. And the women on this particular episode, and what the episode was this guy, Benito, they call him Bento Box, right? And I just like, it, part of it was entertaining, but part of it was disturbing. But the women that came up on that show, I think the fucking episode was Benito Sucks. Let's see. I just want to be correct. Season 3. What's on season 3? Bentino. I'm sorry. Bentino Massaro Sucks. Part 1 and Part 2. So I found that interesting, and it just felt real. And shout out to all the women and the men that were being interviewed on that podcast for stepping forward. And the same thing with the Tinder swindler thing. You know, that kind of goes in the territory for me as someone who's a whistleblower and someone who's blowing something open. Like, just because I talk about, like, cancel culture and anti-coach rhetoric and stuff like that. I think what Edward Snowden did was brave, you know? And I just think that people who whistleblow things that are truly corrupt and blow something wide open, I think that's an honorable thing. But the difference between this thing is, for one, the host, again, were confident and humorous and crafted it carefully and had their ducks in a row and weren't emotionally reactive and were able to make it entertaining, but also deep and deep filled with truth. And then the people being interviewed were making an act of bravery. They weren't just scrolling past Facebook and sticking their nose in business that they didn't understand. They weren't just taking something and saying words or violence or something like that. They were truly impacted in an abusive situation. And it was somebody who is, you know, making an impact in the world and is highly visible in the world. And they blew something wide open. And it took courage to do that. So I just want to iterate, like, if it doesn't feel like it takes courage and it's more of like something that you're just doing, sort of like a habit, where the same as like scrolling the newsfeed or something, is something you find yourself in on a day-to-day basis. And if it engulfs your entire brand and your energy, it's like you just have to be mindful of where your energy is. Because these people in particular, the people who came forward about this guy who did some serious shit, it's not like he just said some dumb shit on the internet. The people who came forward, their actions probably freed up capacity for them. It was probably healing in a way. It was probably, there's like more purpose behind that versus somebody who has a purpose and a message to speak about, but instead they're getting in all these online fights or, you know, finding what coach is being caught out at the moment and adding their 2 cents or drinking their tea and figuring out like, who are you talking about? Oh my God, I had a similar experience. It's like, is the action that is happening revolutionary and like a true whistleblower action, or is it just getting off steam? That's my point that I want to drive home. And you know what? If you have a comment or anything like that, submit them to my IG stories or whatever that posts about it if you want. I really appreciate when you share reviews and share posts and things of that nature. I really appreciate that. You know, I love the feedback and I love to see how this podcast impacted you, as long as you're open to sharing. With that being said, you know, I just hope all that nuance makes sense. And going into dealing with it personally, something that I want to say here is having this awareness can help you in cultish situations. It can help you with being taken advantage of. I think it's especially helpful. Like, it can be helpful for men and women, but like, I really think about women who are who's dating a man who, you know, wants that long-lasting relationship with a man who respects them, right? And one thing that I preach is when you feel like someone's crossing your boundary or when something feels uncomfortable, is to add time to the equation. When you add time to the equation and you set a boundary, you see somebody's true colors, right? So like a woman in a dating situation, if he's trying to advance and you say, you know, you're simply not ready, any decent man would be like, okay, I respect that. Or, you know, like they wouldn't apply the pressure. So adding time to the equation helps that. And that's the same thing for coaches, right? If any decent human being or anybody who's working with decency, because I do understand that some people can be taking on these shady tactics and thinking they're doing the right thing and all that stuff, but still they're in the wrong. Something that can help you. Oh, Katie. Okay, I'm punching in and I just want to keep that blooper in there because it's fucking funny. I like keeping the realism in. But something that will help you is that your ability to say no. When you say no, what happens? When something feels uncomfortable and you voice that, what happens? Do they try to push forward? So it's like in a sales conversation, or if you're showing interest, how do they act when you set that boundary? And that will tell you everything. So the main thing is just being able to communicate that boundary, and also being grounded. This is a huge one that I really wanted to drive home here. And this is something that has helped me in business, and it's something that has helped me in relationships or like in the dating phase of my life. And the thing is that it's really easy to get swept off your feet with fantasies, especially in a spiritual community. And what I mean by that is it fucking practical? Or are they saying some wishy-washy shit from like some angelic shit, like I'm a god or I'm a goddess, and if you believed in your goddess energy or your god energy, you would pay $50,000 right now. And if you don't, you don't believe in your god or goddess energy. See, then you make this strange religion or this strange cult above your financial boundaries. And it's like, wow, maybe the reason why I'm not good enough is because I'm not owning my god or goddess energy. Or they see me who I could be 5 months from now, but I'm operating in my limitation. Like, that is a classic way for people to pull you out of your reality and unground you and be able to kind of get you to do whatever they want. So I kind of just want to really focus on the general stuff, the general idea, and come with a different perspective than just a list of red flags to look for. Because you can find list of red flags for narcissistic relationships or cult-like coaching practices everywhere, right? I want to really drive home with embracing realism, keeping yourself grounded. You know, another example is in dating situations is if you get caught up in the twin flame thing, right? That's kind of like an airy-fairy idea. And I'm not knocking everybody's twin flame or anything like that. All I'm saying is 99.9% of the times, maybe all the time, maybe 100%, that I see people mentioning twin flames, they're in this fucking dramatic situation where there is abuse, but they tolerate the abuse and manipulation because that person is their twin flame and they can't be replaced. And if they just go through enough abuse, then one day they'll get to the promised land. But the fucking promised land isn't there. It doesn't exist. Not in that situation. You don't go through abuse to get to a promised land. That's ridiculous. And I kind of have that same outlook with like soulmates and things of that nature. When it comes to like, this is your one and only soulmate, it's so easy to drop your boundaries and your morals and who you are and your personal responsibility to chase that quote unquote soulmate, when really it's just the chemistry in your mind going wild and you just have this crazy addiction for that person. And you think of them being perfect and all that stuff. That's more for the relationship front, but coaching is relationships. You know, any human reaction is a relationship. And the same thing goes for when you're brought up in this feeling of like, this is a person that needs to save me, or this person is saying that this is what I need to do for success. And the thing is, it's not true. It's good marketing to say something like that, but it's not necessarily true. But when you're grounded, when you stay practical, then you can make decisions from the mind and the heart. Your heart's not just leading you astray. Your mind isn't, floating in the air or whatever. but you get to make those logical decisions. Like, wait, does this make sense for me right now? And if you question things early on, you can kind of see the cracks. If you don't question things and you decide to abandon yourself, then you can get led down this long road of manipulation, and then it takes a while for the wool to be covered off of your eyes. I'm messing that up. But to be lifted from your eyes, and then you see all the cracks after all this shit went down. So really it's like practicality. What are my financial boundaries? Does this even make sense? Like, it's bringing me in this dreamy place to violate my own financial boundaries and what I would do. You have to have a certain trust in yourself. And the same thing with, and you know, allow this podcast episode to be a sign if you've been going through it, or if you've gone through it, or you're whatever, you know, let it be a sign. I'm just trying to equip you with stuff, you know, like just the psychology of things. You know, when we get so caught up in the fantasy of things, it makes us make decisions that aren't good for our well-being. And we end up shooting ourselves in the foot, and we're easy to be controlled. One other comparison that I gave was somebody was talking about religion. And it was like this story of this priest saying he said one word wrong, so he told everyone that was baptized that they're not really baptized or some shit. And I made the comment, I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like the fucking the Rona narrative. They keep contradicting things, and then they say you did the wrong thing after you got the Fauci juice and all that stuff, and the contradictions, and it keeps you always in emotional turmoil. That's where, you know, going back into the investing thing, is that kind of goes back to the thing of always invest on your edge. Because if you're always investing on your edge to where you're in survival mode, then you're always in turmoil. And when you're always in turmoil, you look for somebody else to ground you. And you're not practicing sovereignty. But when you practice sovereignty, then you can't be fucked with. So the whole thing I'm trying to explain here is simplifying. Like, once you start to understand psychology and the red flags and things of that nature, is when your number one priority is to ground yourself and you become your own hero, and you realize that there's nothing that you can't do by yourself, and anybody can play a role in your life, but that role gets to be clean. You know, that role's not supposed to make you feel disgusted in your body. That's your fucking intuition saying, wake the fuck up. It's not supposed to feel like your body is like collapsing on itself. That's your intuition calling for help. And that's the moment. Like, I guess that's the feeling. Whenever I feel like I abandoned myself or I've been taken advantage of, it's always that feeling of like this crushing feeling of like, wait, this isn't good, but I'm doing it anyway. And that's when we abandon ourselves. Then somebody will reveal their true colors. Because a true opportunity in your life doesn't come from somebody pushing you up against a wall, metaphorically or for real. You know, like it doesn't come from that. It doesn't come from them pushing their way. Something that I want to cap this off with is that we're so caught up in this world with law of attraction, manifestation, and magical way of thinking. And that's not to say, I'm not bashing the law of attraction, okay? I'm not bashing it. I'm not saying that I didn't manifest this life that I live in any way, but I did it from a grounded place. And it's until I understood that. Because when I first learned about the law of attraction, I was airy fairy about it and thinking like, oh, positive thinking and blah, blah, blah. You know, the whole secret thing. I think that's where a lot of people kind of got their introduction into the law of attraction But it ungrounds you in a way. And you're thinking like, oh, I can just manifest. And sometimes it makes you complacent and you're not fully grounded and you're just floating in the air. And then you're just like, and then you become so rose-colored glasses, you think that everybody wants the best for you. And then you like, you know, you're just like generous. The money will come back to me. But it's like, you have to have discernment and you have to understand human psychology. And you got to understand that people have their own motives and understanding where people are coming at from you. And not even just saying it in a manipulation practice. I'm talking about doing what's right for you. It could be as simple as somebody just asking to be a podcast guest, right? And maybe they're not trying to manipulate you, but they have their self-interest to promote their business. And if you're a people pleaser and you're ungrounding yourself and you're like positive thinking, the more hands I shake, the more money I make and blah, 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 blah. And you let go of those boundaries, then maybe you won't end up in a cult, but you'll be recording a very boring podcast, right? Like, so I just wanted to say that, not to have a sinister view in the world, but to understand the reality that on a collective level, we're in some type of psychological war. When it comes to cancel culture, that is an act of psychological warfare in a certain way. And maybe that's a ridiculous comparison to some. It's like, oh, just a bunch of random people just came after you. But if you, you know, like down to it, you can consider it as psychological warfare because they're trying to break you mentally. And then when it comes to being the whistleblower for situations that people love talking about in coaching, that's an aspect of psychological warfare. But I will make my point clear, as I did on the last episode, is that there's no one to save you and there's no way to wave a magic wand to really, you know, like I don't see a magic wand being waved and the world being perfect. And there never being conflict, and that the coaching industry is completely clear and there's no scammers. You know, it's kind of like you're being the paddle boat or the lifeboat instead of the lighthouse when you're chasing everything around and trying to patch holes in the industry, and you're getting yourself dirty in the process, and you're trying to put a band-aid on it, and then you're trying to, like, you know, rage at in as many angles as possible and find out all the microaggressions and find out where every wrongdoing is being and or happening. And at that point you exhaust yourself, and if you're not careful with your energy and your intention, a lot of innocent people can be caught in the crossfire. Somebody you may speak with the same languaging that you might have been triggered by, or you assume that they had bad intentions, and then you're going after them, expending your energy and expending, you know, your relationship with your audience. Because again, I'm not sure if I made this a point on the last episode, but if you're coming off as a loose cannon and you're just like reacting to everybody and having shouting matches or canceling people left and right, then a lot of innocent people either get hit with those verbal bullets because they feel like, oh, wait, is that about me? Or they're like, fuck, I don't know. Like, this doesn't feel like a safe container for me to be in, because what if I mess up? In a world of perfectionist identity and people having to build up the confidence for them to be confident in serving, you can create this environment where people are scared to be around you because there's always this combative energy and there's not this welcoming energy. And it's always focused on what to take out, rather what to create and what to build and what to cultivate and manifest. I had to get into like my deep spiritual voice. Is that a deep spiritual voice? But anyway, so I just wanted to say all that, where it's better to equip yourself and like this podcast, where I'm helping you equip yourself and just teach people knowledge, put people on game, put people in the well-known, and also be an example, you know? Be an example of what goes on. So now there's like certain levels of manipulation that doesn't have a chance of working with me, right? Because I've already worked with people. I already felt, you know, once you already feel like what a healthy relationship feels like, or what a healthy coaching relationship feels like, and things of that nature, then you check things off the list of things that bullshit that you would tolerate. Because if you experience the good and you understand what a good, healthy, you know, like a healthy relationship is on all fronts, like I'm not talking about just romantically, but with business, coaching, whatever, when you experience those aspects, then you're not going to want to be pulled to the manipulative aspects. And one last thing is, I think that's why a lot of the marketing sometimes, when it's in that pressury type of talk and pushing people into things and, you know, like just pulling people, it's like the type of marketing that works with new people because they haven't experienced that relationship with. But is it the best strategy to go after people when you just see like, oh, this marketing's horrible, let's take them down? And you just, because like there's a whole umbrella of people that do some weird shifty practices, and they're, some of them are taught that it's even a good thing. So is it a good thing to run around trying to go after everybody? Is that the best use of your energy? Or is the best use of your energy being the lighthouse and being that breath of fresh air for people who come across you? And, you know, perhaps they're so gifted and so fortunate for you to be that first relationship for them, that first business relationship, let's say. Or you're that breath of fresh air when someone who has really been through some shit and had some bad experiences, and you get to help co-facilitate that healing with that person. And maybe the shit that you went through helped you get to that point where you can help others so they don't have to go through that, or they can at least heal from that. So that's just what I wanted to say. Main thing is, you know, the main lesson here is keep yourself grounded and take time before you make decisions. Don't get swept up in the fantasies. Like, if you're truly abundant, then you won't have tunnel vision for making something work with one person who could or may not have your best interests at heart, who may be manipulating you, or may just not be a fuck yes. Maybe it's just a waste of your time in some way. Maybe it's something that's like you do it out of guilt, right? You build that relationship out of guilt, and then the energy is not aligned, and then it weighs you down and it takes up a lot of capacity. And when you clean up your own yard and you clean up your own energy and you're grounded and you're practical, that's when a lot of the problems get solved on all fronts, whether it's your relationships or expressing yourself, etc. So that's what I want to express today. Let me know your comments and all that good stuff. If you want me to expand on anything, because I feel like I've been channeling so much around this area. So let me know if you want me to expand on anything. And also, fuck cancel culture. At the recording of this podcast, it starts the 28th of February. So it starts next week. So if you're if you're listening to this podcast on time, as a new podcast, then I invite you into the live iteration of Fuck Cancel Culture. If you're listening to this a year later, then there's probably a digital program called Fuck Cancel Culture for you that I would love you to experience. And it probably went super well and it was awesome. And it just helps you in holding your own. You know, something else I want to drive home with fuck cancel culture. It's about being bold in what you want to say, not only in your content, but your interpersonal relationships and your own dialogue, to where you're being truthful to yourself and you're bringing yourself back to reality. Because that's kind of like, this whole thing kind of ties into fuck cancel culture, because cancel culture in a way is driving you away from that reality and making you indoctrinated with other people's thoughts and obeying other people's rules that they have for you. So it's about breaking free from that and shining your light from, whether it's messaging on the internet or it's just where you get to live with yourself and feel peace with yourself and feel like you're honoring the truth within you. Thank you for listening. This is Brandon Marshall Havener signing out, and have a wonderful time. Until next time, all that good stuff. How do I say goodbye? I guess I just hit stop. All right, goodbye now.